I'm speaking today with Deborah Kerner, who is running for trustee of the Harris County Department of Education. Usually I start off interviews by asking people why they are running for the particular office, but with some of these it's best to take a step back and ask a more basic question. What exactly does the Harris County Department of Education do?
Okay. The Department of Education serves the 26 school districts in Harris County. They provide a lot of support services like special education, special schools for children. They have schools for the children who are in the judicial system. They have a Head Start program, an ECI or birth early childhood intervention, which is for birth to three. They have after school programs, including programs to help the children pass the tax test. They have adult education, teacher certification, teacher training, a purchasing co-op. The list goes on and on. I have a three-page list on my website, which is DeborahKerner4Education.com.
And so why are you running to be a trustee of the Harris County Department of Education?
I am an educator. I'm a speech-language pathologist, and I work at a school for children with autism. And I would see a need for better services. We would see children who came to us from the Department of Education schools, and I felt they could be doing a better job of educating. I'm in private practice at Southwest Speech, and I have hired speech-language pathologists. Years ago, the Department of Education hired speech pathologists, and I stayed out of Harris County. I would hire people and have them go to the schools in Fort Bend County or Galveston County or Brazoria County. Now, they have maybe two speech pathologists, and there is a huge need. I am bombarded constantly with invitations from private companies asking for me to come to work for them, and then them put me in schools like the schools in Harris County. So I know that there's a big need for speech pathologists, but they're not meeting that need anymore. That's how I got interested in it, and then as I've been going to the board meetings, I've seen an even greater need for things. Right now there's a need for Head Start. I was sitting at a budget meeting. They've been very wonderful. They've invited the candidates to come to their meetings. I went to a budget meeting in June. They voted on the budget meeting in July. And I was sitting between the superintendent, John Sawyer, and one of the board members. Should I say who it is? Okay. Roy Morales. The Department of Education provides Head Start services to approximately a quarter of the county. They do it in District 1, or that's what they've called it. And the teachers for Head Start, the requirements, they're making it tougher, this is a federal requirements, are increasing to bachelor's level for the teachers, which I feel is appropriate. But the salary has not increased. They're paying these bachelor's level teachers between $28,000 to $29,000 a year. Starting salaries for teachers in the school districts is approximately $40,000. I can't tell you for sure. But there's a great discrepancy. Almost half is what they're being paid in Head Start. The superintendent proposed to give them a 6% raise. The federal government didn't give them any cost of living raise for this year. Roy Morales, who was sitting on the other side of me, said, well, maybe we shouldn't provide the services at all. And he was ready to cut off the services from the way he talked. He seemed ready to cut off the services for starting school right now. So those people would have found out in July at that board meeting that they no longer had a place to send their kids for the Head Start program, which would have been their education, preschool education. They get health services, they get nutritional services, it helps the whole family. And I did not feel that was right. I feel that we need to provide these services. It's a vital service, it's a proven service. Let's find a way to give those teachers what they need. What ended up happening was at the June board meeting, they said that they would have a meeting for Head Start, and they ended up having the meeting in July, the Monday before the board meeting for the Department of Education on that Tuesday. And at that meeting, it was obvious that we needed to have federal support. So I asked, and I just called and had members of the Congress members' offices from Congressman Gene Green and Congressman Al Green. I called them that Monday and Tuesday morning, and they were at the board meeting, which was Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Then I asked if it would be, I filled in both people. I told them all about what had happened at the meeting on that Monday. And they asked if they could be included in the Head Start meeting, which runs about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I got permission to invite them to the Head Start meeting. The same congressman had staff members there. It was different staff members this time. Amanda Wally was there for Gene Green, and he's going to be a state representative. So we got a double whammy with that one, because he heard it for the congressman, but he also heard it for himself, and he's going to be a state representative. So we were able to fill them in on what was going on. They got a lot of information from the congressional members' offices, and it's going to be a two-way street. And we'll see what happens. But I think that we're going to be able to come up with some ways to keep the Head Start program in Harris County Department of Education.
Now, you mentioned in your first response all the different things that the Department of Education does here locally. Where does funding for that come from?
They're a tax-based agency. They get approximately half a penny per $100 valuation. So for a $200,000 house, people pay $10 a year. And then they take away their homestead exemption, so it's even less. So I like to tell people, for two or three cups of Starbucks, you've paid your taxes to the Harris County Department of Education for the year. They turn that tax, property tax revenue, for every dollar they get in property tax revenue, they turn it into $6 worth of services. It is an extremely cost-efficient means of providing the services.
And yet one of the members of the Department of Education board, Michael Wolf, recently called for the Department of Education to abolish its tax altogether. What's your take on that?
Well, and also one of the other Republican opponents, the one who's running against Jim Henley, his opponent called for had a resolution in the Republican Party for an abolishment of the tax rate. I think that they are, I haven't asked them specifically their reasons, but in my opinion, they are trying to do away with the board and do away with the services. And if that happens, it will end up costing the taxpayers more money, because those services will have to be provided by each individual school district. The special education services are mandated by the Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act. And the other kinds of services that they do, a purchasing co-op, if they have to go and buy things individually, it's going to cost them more money. They will lose the economy of scale, where they get to save money by putting everything together and being able to do it for a cheaper rate.
Do all counties in Texas have this sort of thing, or are we unique?
We are unique. From what I understand, there is one other Department of Education in a county someplace else in Texas, but we're the only ones who do it this way. From doing my research, the county school boards were the original way that public school education was provided throughout the state of Texas. Gradually, independent school districts were formed, and the county school board became less and less important, so to speak. In most other counties, they did away with the Department of Education. In Harris County, the Department of Education started filling in on other necessary services and providing them to all 26 school districts in the county. So it's become, although it's unique, it's become a very necessary component for the school districts, and one that if they didn't have it, they would have to find a way to provide the services in another way. And from what I understand, the current funding rate for the school districts, they had their rate as it was, they have, I think, 4 cents that they can go up on, and I'm not positive of my figures. I think I was told they can go up 4 cents without having a bond election, which many of them have already done, and then they would have to have a bond election to provide any other services. So it would, either they wouldn't have the services, or they'd have to cut someplace else, or they'd have to have a bond election and raise the rates of everybody. So it's much more efficient to do it with the Department of Education.
What's your assessment of the job the HCDE is doing now, and where would you like to see them go if you're elected?
Right now I'd like to say that the board is an all-Republican board. There is one member of the board whom you mentioned, Michael Wolff, who has stated that he would like to see the tax rate go away, and ostensibly that would mean that the Department of Education might go away. There's another one, Warren Morales, who was recruited by the same group, but I think that he has seen the necessity for the board. The two opponents, the two Republicans who are running in position 5, which is my position, and position 7, which is Jim Henley's position, the only two positions which are up this year, are in the right-wing Republican group. They were recruited by Michael Wolff. If they get on the board...
Now, just to clarify, these are people who actually ran against the Republican incumbents in the primary and defeated those incumbents.
Yes, correct. And so we now have not the moderate Republicans who were on the board, but it's a race between the right-wing Republicans and myself, Deborah Kerner, and Jim Henley. And the right-wing Republicans will be the ones that would want to do away with the board and take away more of the services that they're providing. So it's become almost like a battle for continuation and improvement for the continuation of the board. I would like to see the board continued and to improve their services. I've already told you about my concern about Head Start. I have some ideas for what I'd like to do for Head Start funding, but I think I'd like to be elected first and then push my ideas to help to get funding for those Head Start teachers. I'd like to see a program for education for people who have not gotten their high school diplomas. There is a law where they can get the services to get their high school diploma, not just a GED, and have the Department of Education is one of those agencies that can provide that program. I'd like to see them do more provision for GED for those that don't qualify for that program, high school diploma for those that do. I'd like to see vocational training, because a lot of kids are not going to be college-bound material, so let's get them job skills so that they can get a job when they get out. And I'd like to, once I'm on the board, I think I can hold more weight in getting through a program like that, but to talk to the labor unions, to talk to industry, to find out what kind of job skills are needed to train people so that they can get a job when they get out. Things in the skilled trades, things in construction, auto mechanic, any kind of jobs that they can get, so that we're training people to meet the needs of what our economy needs here in Houston.
How much does the department interact with the independent school districts for that sort of thing? I thought, what you're talking about, vocational training, I thought that was more of determined by the state and by the independent school districts. What role does the HCDE play in that?
Okay, I have to do more research on that, but from what I'm understanding, a lot of the vocational training programs have been dropped by the school districts. And so maybe if that's the kind of thing that we can come in, be it a program that we could provide during the school day or after the school day, they have a great program for after-school programs. Maybe it can be something that is done at that time that can supplement what they're already doing.
So it's not something you could mandate, but it's something you could offer that the school districts could choose to take.
Right. Many of the services are things that are offered to the school districts as opposed to mandated.
Okay. If the HCDE is, relatively speaking, a bargain on taxes, and if it, brings about these economies of scale for the school districts, why would someone want to do away with what it does?
Well, you'll have to ask my opponents why they want to do away with it. I can't see any reason why they would do it. It's a riddle to me why they would want to do that. I guess they don't want cost-efficient government.
Okay. When people go to the ballot this November and they come down to this race on the ballot, how do you want them to think about it?
Well, I want to think about if they care about a quality education for their child, their grandchild, their niece, their nephew. I've told people that even if they don't have somebody in school, that their doctor, their lawyer, their auto mechanic, their air conditioning repairman, the guy who sets the groceries in their store, all of them have needed an education. And let's see what we can do to give them a quality education and give them the kinds of services that the Department of Education can help the school districts to supplement. So please remember to vote in November. Remember to go down ballot. The Department of Education races are behind all of the countywide races for the administrative offices. In fact, they'll have Diane Troutman's name will be on the ballot, and then my name will be on the ballot. So please remember to vote on November 4th. Remember to go down ballot to the Department of Education, and remember to vote for me for position 5 and Jim Henley for position 7.
Deborah Kerner, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you very much.